The Holy Gospel for today is written in Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed them, the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were afraid. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died out. And then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our subject: take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Let us pray. Father God, we want to give you thanks and praise for this day and for this word. And we ask, Lord, that in this lump of clay that you might be able to communicate the jewels of the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take this word and that you would quicken it and that it may find its place in our hearts and then in our lives. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. During the last few months, I'm sure you could be honest with me in saying that we have been living in fear. And this fear has not been unwarranted. I mean, there are things going on almost daily. When we hear of COVID-19 and the positive accounts and the deaths that are occurring, we really do walk in fear. And certainly for those of us who are familiar with the Bible, though, there is so much that encourages us not to live in fear. Several times when Jesus greets the disciples, he says, "Fear not." Remember when Jesus, after his resurrection, meets the 11 disciples, the Bible says that they are locked behind closed doors for fear. He says, "Peace be with you." In other words, he wanted them to not be afraid, so that they could experience God's peace, God's shalom. And if they experienced that peace, they would no longer be afraid. And then you will remember when the mother of Jesus, before Jesus was born, Mary was approached by the angel Gabriel, telling her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she, that is Mary, was much perplexed at these words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And then remember the Apostle Paul, in writing in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, says to this young preacher, "For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but rather of power and love and self-discipline." You know, when unusual things happen in our lives, we surely get fearful. And that is usually because we don't fully understand what's going on. Let's be honest with our feelings. Yes, we are fearful. We are fearful about the raging of this COVID-19 pandemic. We are fearful about the direction our country has been heading. We are fearful of the kind of leadership that is directing us more than ever. Parents, in a week or so, are fearful of what will occur when their children go back to school, or what it will be like if they don't. There is so much that is raging about us. And the only human response is that of fear, terror, dread. The anxiety level is increasing. And that is because these things are right there in our eyesight. They are before us regularly. They surround us. And for those of us who have been worshiping through this ministry, lately, we have been following Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Last week, we recounted the feeding of the 5,000 plus. Jesus was involved in what could be called a food giveaway program that was started with a little boy's lunch of fishes and loaves. Jesus has been working hard. He has been healing, delivering, and setting people free. And the more that he healed, the more people followed him. And that is what happens when people tell stories. If you and I tell the stories of how Jesus Christ has affected our lives, we do bless others because we are directing them to the source. I don't know about you, but though all of the ups and downs of this virus and the struggles with which we are having that is revealing about our country, we are just simply getting so fearful and almost torn to shreds. People have said, even in the midst of all of this though, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. And so we know that for us, the winds are blowing, the storm is raging, and I am not just talking about Hurricane Isaias. I am saying that we are needing God more than ever. And we have to tell a story. Well, Jesus has been ministering hard, and something is leaving him as he ministers. Now, when you find out that you're giving the best of your service, it is as if virtue is leaving you. Your thoughts and prayers are leaving you. Your thought time is leaving you. Your time and energy is leaving you, and you might be feeling that your cup is getting empty. And you know what the answer is. You need to get your cup filled again. Last week, I mentioned to you that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the one that will truly satisfy. And though you and I might try to get our satisfaction through other means, those satisfactions will only be momentary. But Jesus Christ can make you every whit whole. The deepest part of your life, he can truly fill. And Jesus knows this. And it's why in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, the Bible says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And why did he make the disciples get into the boat? And why did he dismiss the crowds? It is because he had to fill his cup. In verse 22, it says, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. you and I need to admit that we need to pray. Now, praying is not just talking to ourselves. It is not self-reflection. But it's having a little talk with Jesus and telling him about our troubles and listening to his voice to us. It is being still and knowing that he is God, approaching the Savior, approaching the Creator, and approaching the Sustainer of our lives. That is what happens when we pray. It is almost as if Jesus was saying, stop the madness, let me listen and receive direction from my Father. So the Bible says he goes up to a mountaintop so that he can pray. And then as we read the text, the panoramic scene changes. It is because Jesus prayed, there came a time for a new revelation. And as the time turns from dusk to night, and in the Greek it says at the fourth watch, which is about from about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning, the disciples are in the boat and the winds begin to blow on the Sea of Galilee. And I am sure that they are feeling alone. Jesus apparently is not with them. And isn't that how it feels sometimes? It feels as if God is not with us. The silence of God is when we feel as if God is not present. We feel as if God is not active. I know that some of us have felt that way. That no matter what we have tried to do to right the wrongs, still God seemed as if God was silent and not present. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you that the psalmist said when he questioned in that 31st division of Psalm, he said, how long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? But even in the midst of the storm, these disciples, as they look out there, they see what looks like a ghost, an apparition. But everything changes. Everything changes because God speaks. Jesus speaks and says three things that we too need to hear this morning. First of all, he says, take courage. The second thing he says, it is I. And the third thing he says is, do not be afraid. The first thing he says is take courage. In the King James Version, the translation is be of good cheer. Basically, this is a realization that whether you know it or not, you do have strength in you. Isn't it true that oftentimes we don't know what we have within us until it is tested? We don't know what talents we have until they are needed and we offer them. We don't realize that what we mean to others until we begin to give. You can't continue to live in the past, my friends. You need to begin to live into a new future. You can't be defined by what happened before. We were reminded what the Lord says to us in 2 Corinthians 5:17. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. If you are trying to live in what used to be, you are trying to live in the guilt and the shame of that before. And you don't have to. The apostle reminds us, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. So Jesus, he says to them, take courage. And the second thing he says to them is, it is I. Folks, Jesus is the rock upon which Jesus built the church. And he needs to be the rock upon which we build our lives. We will build our lives on his love. We will build our lives on his justice. We will build our lives upon God's shalom, God's peace. We will not build our lives on anything else, no other person. For the word tells us that as Peter and John was speaking before the detractors on the Sanhedrin council in the book of Acts, he says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. So Jesus says, it is I. My friends, it is he. He really is there with you. In the midst of all of those problems and all of those struggles and those things that you are going through right now, he is with you. And the third thing that he says, do not be afraid. Because he says to you, take courage, and because he says, it is I, then don't be afraid. You know, the opposite of fear is doubt. I'm not talking here about being stupid. You know, you remember a time when Jesus was fasting after he had been baptized. He fasted for about 40 days and Satan tempted him. And in one of the temptations, Satan wanted Jesus to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple. And Jesus basically said, I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to tempt the Lord my God. In the midst of this pandemic, just yesterday, I was seeing there in one of our states in South Dakota where people were driving and walking around and trying to tempt God. Rather than using wisdom, they're trying to act as if they are walking around immune to anything that would befall them. Well, that's not faith. That's just stupidity. When Jesus spoke to Peter and the disciples, and he said, do not be afraid, Jesus was saying, as you place your hands in my hands, I will be with you. Jesus was walking on the water. Peter said to Jesus, if you bid me come, I will come. Let me hear your word to me. And that is exactly what Peter did. He gets out of the boat and begins to walk on the water toward Jesus. But what happened? If Peter had kept his eyes on Jesus, he would have been all right. As he got out of the boat and came to Jesus, he had been strengthened by that word, but then he began to take his eyes off of Jesus and began to pay attention to the trouble. And as a result, he began to sink. My friends, we are invited by Jesus, even in the midst of our circumstances, to keep our eyes on him. We are invited to continue to trust him. We don't put our trust in anyone who wants to take his place. We don't put our trust in any person, any system, anybody or electorate. We trust only in God, and God only will we put our trust. And when we take our eyes off of him, yeah, we begin to sink. We sink into fear. Maybe we sink into depression. We sink into despair. But folks, thank God that there is grace. Grace is what is called undeserved goodness. Grace is undeserved favor. You see, even when Peter is looking around at his circumstances, looking around at the trouble that surrounds him, Jesus puts forth his hand and lifts him up. Well, Jesus Christ is there to lift us up. He is there to catch our hands, and he's there to catch our heart. At the end of this passage in verse 33, after Jesus called them to take courage, to identify himself by saying, "It is I," and telling them not to be afraid. And when both Jesus and Peter returned to the boat, the Bible says, is when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat, what was their response? They worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You know, our Bible study, we have been studying the Gospel of John, and we finished it last week. And after the writer gave testimony to all of the signs of Jesus, he says, "These things are written that you may believe in the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." And you too are invited to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and as your Lord and as your sustainer and as your comforter. That in the midst of these troubling times, you would come to realize that he can be trusted to hold us in his hand and to catch us. And what kind of response does he deserve? He deserves our response of worship, trust and faith, and confession that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, take courage. Grab on his reality. It is he. And do not be afraid. Amen.